Hans will now share our scripture for this Christmas Sunday.
This is Luke chapter 2, verses 22 through 40. When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as is written in the law of the Lord. Every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolidation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and the sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped there with fasting and prayer, night and day. At that moment she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him.
Thank you, Hans. This story of Simeon and Anna and of Mary and Joseph taking the baby to the temple for purification, for all those religious rites when he was very small, is usually the reading for this Sunday after Christmas. I love the way Luke brings in all these stories that we don't read anywhere else. In fact, I've more and more come to wonder if Luke got to interview and talk with Mary, because he seems to have all these inside stories. I just want to share a couple little thoughts related to this today. You know, when I sent out the announcement early on about this Sunday service, I invited if anyone had stories they want to share. And Rich and Lil Barron actually each have something they want to share. And who knows whether it'll go with what I'm thinking. I have no idea. But as you listen to what I have to say, you may also have a thought that this prompts. So if a couple other people get inspired after Rich and Lil, we might hear from a couple others of you, or you might want to share more in breakout rooms. But when I heard this story this year, what it reminded me of, for some reason, I mean, I know why, but what it reminded me of was years ago when our family took a trip out west. We did a 4-week camping trip in a van with a tent, across Nebraska and South Dakota and Colorado and Wyoming and back through Kansas when the kids were 6 and 8. And we saw a lot of wildlife. But what I was thinking of was Luke, because Luke at 6, he had good eyesight and he was really good at spotting what we couldn't spot. We also sometimes thought maybe he, we were a little skeptical occasionally, but we had a lot of Luke sightings. You know, it was wolf, and it was a antelope, and it was an elk, and it was a, you know, all the way along the way. And he was totally, totally tuned in, looking for animals every minute of that trip, it seemed like. And I thought of Luke looking, watching, constantly trying to sight. And then later when we moved to Rochester, he would love, when he was still small, 7 or 8, to drive through Minden Ponds Park in the late evening, and it would be deer, 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 the same kind of thing. And I thought that, in a way, this story is about these two old people, not a child, but two elders who also are tuned in. They have a sighting, and nobody else realizes what's happening. Here's all these crowds of people coming in the temple. Here's this ordinary peasant couple bringing their baby to do what they're supposed to do. But Simeon and Anna had a sighting. They realized this was Christ. This baby wasn't just any baby. This was the special baby. This was the Messiah that they had been looking for and longing for and waiting for. And so when I hear this story today, the question it brings up for me is, am I watching? Am I looking? Can I see Christ when he comes to me, when he shows up around me? Because God shows up in such unexpected, surprising, and also really ordinary ways, ordinary moments with ordinary people. And yet somehow that is God's presence, Christ among us. And so I guess my 12 days of Christmas challenge for myself is keep looking. Don't stop watching just because it went from Advent to Christmas. Keep looking. Keep eyes open, heart open. Because it's only by having that attitude, only by cultivating that we are able to see Christ's presence in the people we encounter and the experiences that we have, in the moments in nature that are God's message to us. But we've got to be awake. We've got to be ready and alert for the sighting. Rich and Lil, would you like to share with us what you felt led to want to share today?
I'm taking this story from Holiday Stories, which was in the Good Housekeeping magazine. I haven't written to you since I was a little girl living in the rundown shack at the foothills of the Great Smoky Mountains. My daddy said there was no need for me to write you, since we lived so far back in the woods that you'd never find us anyway. And I think he was probably right about that. I never did get the thing on my list, but it didn't stop me from believing in you. I still believe in you, and I'm out of the backwoods now, so I'm going to take another chance on writing to you to ask you for some very special things, not only for myself, but for everyone, for Christmas this year. Santa, please bring joy to those who have lost the ability to laugh and to enjoy life because of this critical time. And Santa, bring hope for a better and brighter tomorrow. Hope for the poor and the downtrodden. Hope for those who have given up all hope. Santa, please bring lots of love, enough to heal this wonderful wound, this wounded world. Excuse me. Enough to help mend our differences, enough to open our eyes to the fact that we are all God's children and we all have an equal right to live in this world together in peace. Santa, I know this is a big list and a lot to ask of you, but I'm assuming that since you are able to do so many great things, that you might be in partnership with the one who is Christmas. And maybe between us, the two of us, we might really have a chance for peace and earth on earth and goodwill toward men. Well, anyway, Santa, you do what you can. You be very safe this year. Remember to wear your mask because you're going to be going in a lot of homes. And we're all still praying for a vaccine enough to heal everybody all over the world. Can you help us with that one? Well, Santa, I've taken up enough of your time. Thank you for everything you do. I will always love you. Dolly Parton. And she is a very religious person, and this came from the heart, I'm sure.
This is a story about a kid who was tuned in. Dinah Donahue tells a wonderful Christmas story about a 9-year-old boy named Wally Perling. Wally was big for his age and was also a little slow mentally, but he was a great kid. Everybody liked him. He was nice to all the little kids. In fact, he helped and protected them all the time. The Christmas program was being planned in Wally's school, and Wally wanted to be in it. He wanted to be a shepherd, but the teacher had another part in mind for him. She wanted him to be the innkeeper because he was so big. Wally took the part home and studied it and practiced it hard. The night came for the play, and everything was going smoothly. It came to the time when Mary and Joseph knocked on the door of the inn, and Wally opened the door and said, "What do you want?" Joseph said, "We need a place to stay for the night." "You've got to find it somewhere else. The inn is full," said Wally. "Are you sure?" Joseph asked. "We've come a long way, and it's cold." "No, there's no place here. Go someplace else." "But my wife is going to have a baby." At this point in the play, there was silence, one of those embarrassing silences that made you believe that somebody had forgotten his line. Wally stood there, not saying anything. The prompter whispered, "No, be gone." So Wally said, "No, be gone." Joseph put his arm around Mary and turned to walk away from the inn. It was at this point that the Christmas play took an unusual twist. Wally was big, but he had a heart just as big, and he couldn't stand seeing Mary and Joseph walk away. He suddenly said, "Wait a minute, Joseph. Bring Mary on back. You can have my room. I'll sleep in the cold." There were those who said that the Christmas story was ruined, but that wasn't true. In that little event was caught the whole essence of it, a boy willing to sleep out in the cold so Mary and Joseph could have what they needed for the coming of the Christ child. Christmas calls us to care, as Wally did.
Thank you, Rich and Lil. Anybody else have a moment of inspiration they want to share? Let me know. So anybody else? I'm seeing a nice chat. Let me just say that the chat says that Faith and Gary and Josh, who are joining us, are related to Joe Haynes and Elaine, and they joined, and it was blessed to hear him, but they're also grateful for being part of our worship. So thank you for joining us. It's wonderful to have different folks be able to join us from all sorts of places. Anybody else have a word you feel led you'd like to share before we got a few minutes here? Anybody had a Christ sighting recently in their lives?
Faith is my baby sister.
That's lovely. We live in Ohio. Nice to join. That's wonderful. I will confess, I have never thought about Santa as a way, in quite that same way as being a way that some people understand the love of God. I've always sort of said, you know, that's secular, this is religious, and that brought it together in an interesting way I never thought about before. Thank you, Lil and Dolly Parton.
I'm feeling, this is Reggie, I'm feeling some pressure as the storyteller in the group.
No pressure, but if you have something, we would love to hear from you, Reggie.
Well, I'm thinking of a couple of things, and you know, do you remember the book that we all read about the Celtic spirituality, the Irish spirituality, where we can see God and spirit in everything? And yes, I am in my bathroom. So sorry about that, but I thought, oh, I better just come as I am. But notice I put lipstick on just in here. I'm thinking about how Christ, if we can just kind of calm ourselves, you know, is available to us, and how the invisible becomes visible. And I've had, if you know me, you know, I really like dogs and seem to have a special communication with them. And my very first dog that I ever had was named Tootie. And she was named that after R2-D2. But she was also named that because she tooted a lot. And she stunk. Oh God, she was miserable. And I came to associate her fetid smell with an elixir with sleep. And I adored this dog. I just adored her. And one day she came to me, and I could hear her say to me, you know, let me out. And I knew she was coming to say goodbye. And so I let her out, and she died that day. And a few weeks after that, I was driving to my sister Cindy's, and my heart was just so sad. And she appeared to me, and she was a funky looking dog. She was funky. She had like one eye missing, and she was like, you know, a composite of dogs. And she appeared to me, she was, I know it sounds crazy, but she appeared as a specter, but she was, her matter had been perfected again. She wasn't, she was whole again. And I thought about that with, you know, the sighting of, you know, Jesus coming back from the dead. I thought about that, and I thought, why can some people see that and others can't? You know, why is that? And I've so appreciated, Debbie, your emphasis on Mary. And because I always think that this is really, you know, to exaltate Mary as the mother on the holiday, because it's she who was willing to have faith, was able to have the faith. And also that, and I don't know if she had this ability to see into the future, but to know she was giving birth to a child who would possibly be put to death because of the revolutionary message, and to go forward with it anyway, you know. I wonder as I wander. So anyway, that kind of sighting of my dog brought me to consider more closely what a sighting of Jesus would have been like. And it wasn't as if I did anything in particular to make that happen. I wasn't the most pure, perfect person, you know. I was just a slob driving in my car, and there she was. And I think if that can happen, then why couldn't a sighting of God be seen as well, you know? So I don't know, maybe, or the anorexic thing, not the anorexic, the dyslexic thing. God really is a dog. Maybe that's it, huh? Did you ever think of that? So that's all I have to say.
Thank you, Reggie. Thank you.